The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 p.m. Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott, Paul Jones and Darren Owen will be the team in the studio. A full house on Thursday and plenty of racing to look forward to. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
I'm very well. Right now your name is Mark Walton.
It is.
What will it be later?
I was talking about right now we are in the studio.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay, the punctuation was off. I didn't know what was going on. I just assumed that later on, I don't know, maybe you'd be Bootsy LaRue or something. I don't know, maybe.
That's only my stage name on a weekend.
Yeah, oh, right. Oh, yeah, yes. Of course. Yeah, I thought you were doing Wednesday nights as well.
No, I've knocked them on the head. It was getting too much.
Oh, right, okay. That's understandable.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
Good.
And you don't want to break your leg in those high heels or anything, do you?
People don't know this, but that's actually how
that's
it happened first time.
Exactly how it happened.
Right. As always, we'll start with a few of the stories in the news, and then we'll move on to Thursday's racing. It's Peterborough Chase Day at Huntingdon on Thursday, so that's a good race to look forward to. Ross is also going to take a look at a couple at Kempton. But before we do, a few news stories, starting with Binocular has been retired, the former champion hurdle winner. Great old horse, and it's nice to see him retired before anything should happen.
Yes, it is, yes.
He's got a heart problem, hasn't he?
Yes, yeah. I'm sorry, were you wishing for me to elaborate?
Well, yes, one-word answers don't work on a podcast.
No. he was a horse everyone kind of loved to hate, or hated to love, in a way. He was an odd one. For such a talented animal, obviously he veered wildly between rather frustrating horse to rather a brilliant horse. I know that Ken Pitterson will be shedding a tear for the retirement of one of his favourite National Hunt animals. When he won the champion hurdle, he looked a world beater, and he obviously that was the peak of his career. But of course, he was ruled out of that race several months in advance, and then came back. So obviously, there's a slight frustration for some punters around that. So as I said, he's he would be a horse who split opinions, but he was clearly a very talented animal at the time.
Yeah, I had a soft spot for Binocular.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Why
is
that?
I don't know. He was a bit of a bridesmaid horse, wanting it. Just like wanted him to get that prize, and then you know he did. So
yeah, I suppose I had the yeah. In a way, it was if everyone turns against the horse, I gotta go with it just out of pure stubbornness. So yeah,
yeah.
I don't think I ever made a pound off him or fancied him or you know was really sort of behind him. As I said, like Mr. Pitterson, for example, was his very much his biggest fan.
Okay,
but clearly a hugely talented horse, and as you said, hope he enjoys retirement.
Yes. From one champion hurdle winner to another, Rock
yes.
and Ruby.
Yes.
He's not going over hurdles anymore. They're going to belatedly give him his chase debut at Plumpton on Monday. He's 9 years of age in a couple of weeks' time, so they're leaving it late enough. But for me, I don't think it's before time. I'd have sent him chasing straight away this year rather than even try with the hurdles.
I can't. Why didn't they listen to you?
Yes, why didn't they? I'll be proved correct on Monday when he wins.
Well, yeah, he... Yeah, especially, I don't know, once you've won a champion hurdle, because it's hard, from the outside, it's easy to say that was the peak and, you know, go and try something new. But obviously it's a lot harder when you're actually involved in the training and the planning of the horse. So he's about, as I said, he did peak with that champion hurdle win, and it was always going to be hard for him to beat younger legs from here on in. So... I think it's a perfectly reasonable move, and he'll have another couple of years over fences if he takes them, of course, because it's not an absolute given. And sometimes it, with the horses that where it almost seems like not an afterthought necessarily, but we might as well give it a go kind of thing, as opposed to a definite plan.
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily work out, but fingers crossed that it does, because as I said, he's a hugely talented horse, and you could see him bowling along in front and popping. If he starts popping fences like he did hurdles, he'll be hard to peg back. I imagine him in a similar style to Overturn probably did over fences. Again, whether he'll win a, he'll be able to take that approach to Cheltenham or something, it remains to be seen. But yeah, clearly a talented horse, and nice to see. Always good to see new faces in the novice chasing game.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully he does take to fences as well, because if he ends up having to go back over hurdles, it's going to be very hard to win a big prize with him again, I think.
Yeah, well, as I said, he's peaked in that sphere, so yeah. You might as well try something new.
Okay. Takan Dasu is another chaser enjoying his first season over fences. He's going to step back up in trip after his performance over 2 miles on Saturday. He made a mistake, didn't he, and was looked after pretty much after that, but he was staying on at the end without too much rousting, and the step back up in trip should suit.
Yeah, he wants to step back up in trip. He wants softer ground, doesn't he? He wants a true test. Even though, I mean, the Oscar Whiskey form was dubious, very strange race at the time. So wasn't sure what to expect from that matchup. But as I said, at the weekend, he was clearly beaten by horses who were better suited by the conditions. So he just needs a true test. Because again, when they're going at that speed over that trip, the niggly mistakes are going to creep in for a horse like that. And even when he looked so impressive in soft ground on the over hurdles, there was a couple of times where he clattered them.
Yeah.
But his class and his speed got him through. So, it's not his time of year yet, because it's been a really dry winter so far.
Mm.
So he needs the heavens to open, really. And he just needs a much stronger stamina test than he's been getting recently.
Okay. We'll leave that there because we must talk about Thursday's racing. And we'll start with a Grade 2 contest at Huntingdon, the Peterborough Chase. It's over 2.5 miles and a good lineup in this year's renewal. Riverside Theatre is in there. We've got Captain Chris, Champion Court, Conquista, who's already won a Grade 2 this year as well. And good lineup.
Yeah, I mean, Conquista will be asking a lot of him. He's not nowhere near as good as some of these, but his rivals in the field are clearly a lot stronger than him. The likes of Gazeo, Champion Court, Captain Chris. I mean, assuming Captain Chris comes back well, his form will be would be a cut above these. And of course, they'd be hoping for Grade 1 glory this season. Captain Chris will be the class act of the race. It's a tough one to call, really. Again, Riverside Theatre, when he won at I'm kind of worried that the Ryan Air win has bottomed him. A year or so ago, it was one of the greatest rides and one of the greatest performances I've ever seen, because that horse had no right to win that race whatsoever, and since then he's really struggled, and rightly so. It was just a monumental effort. I do get the feeling that was his peak.
Yeah.
So again, I'd be a little bit wary about Riverside Theatre.
You say about the class act, though. Since that win, he's only ever run in top quality company, and this would be a little bit of a drop for him.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, but he always runs in top quality company, so it's and he was never that inconsistent. He was always a pretty consistent horse, but just so much went into winning at Cheltenham. It's almost, I think, he just took too much out of him. They think a lot of module. Champion Court's a talented animal as well. It's a good little race, really.
Mm.
It's a good little race. I'd be half tempted with the way Nichols' horses to chance Gazeo on his seasonal return. Not seen since pulling up back in April, so it'd be a fair old ask for him to come back first time. But he's got a bit of class.
Okay, so you're going to go with Gazeo then?
Gazeo, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Gazeo then in the Peterborough Chase. On to the all weather for the next two races. We're going to look at the 450 rather, at Kempton, is a median auction maiden stakes over a mile and a half. So from Grade 2 jumpers to maidens on the flat. What's caught your eye here?
The Cecil Horse Phosphorus is likely to be quite popular. Was set off 25 to 1 for a Newmarket maiden back in May. Won by a decent horse, and this is a pretty weak contest. Will Harner, who's finished second on his four starts, is kind of a reason why it's finished second on his four starts. It doesn't get going until everything's already happened, really. Finished second at Lingfield last time, behind Swahan, who admittedly was a well-backed and relatively impressive winner. But The one, I mean, if there's eight runners still in come race time, Kingston Eucalypt, either place only or each way is the obvious angle. He's only been with David Elser for two starts so far. She finished third to Okavango in a very strong time here at Kempton over this course and distance. And then she finished third last time out behind Freedom's Light, who's a very progressive John Gosden horse, at Lingfield over a mile and a half as well. Those two figures are absolutely miles clear of everything else that I've got this field doing. If it's 4 or 5 to 1, I back it each way. It does strike me as a horse who might well place in every race as opposed to winning, but I think a place only bet's an absolute guarantee as well. So anything half decent place only would be worth looking at.
Okay, keep an eye out for that on the pro race card then when that goes live on Thursday. The final race we're going to look at is the 5:20 at Kempton, which is a class 4 nursery over 6 furlongs. So sprinters in action for this one, Ross. 8 of them in the lineup. What's caught your eye for this one?
Well, the Nazeed horse is expected to be favoured. They always are. Was sent into Listed Company behind Cape Factor last time we saw it. It wasn't the strongest of Listed contests, but she didn't really enjoy the soft ground. Previous to that, she got off the mark on the all weather. I think this is a very winnable race, and certainly a return to form for her would be of interest. But she does have to kind of prove how good she is. It's all well and good running in a Listed race. It doesn't mean you're a Listed horse. I think Porteous has been in fantastic form. Again, a filly who's kind of proven me wrong with how good she is. She won here at Kempton a couple of starts ago. She followed up at Wolverhampton. And I think her run last time out actually was the best of the lot. It was a very strong race behind Steventon Star. They finished in a bit of a heap, it must be said, but the time was strong for the grade. And I think Porteous returning to a course and distance where it's already had success could well be fitting well. And at least we know how good this horse is. And it's certainly good enough to win this race.
Okay, then Porteous for Ross in the 5:20. Thank you very much, Ross. Enjoy on Thursday. So there you go, the thoughts of Ross Brierley on Thursday's racing. Then we can now take the opportunity to look ahead a little bit further in the future. The big race on Boxing Day is the King George, and we can get the thoughts of Paul Nicholls on his two runners in the race, bidding for an 8th King George.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Seymour Business won it twice. It was always a race when I was younger I would have loved to have won, and I remember the first time Seymour won, it was just an amazing day. And then to have been so lucky to have won it the number of times with Corto as well since then has just been a brilliant race. And obviously love winning it, and you know, got the appetite to try and win it again. And yeah, hopefully I got two real good horses that got right chances. Yeah, I mean, the horses are in a great place at the moment. They're fitter now than they probably were a month ago. For whatever reason this year, I don't know whether everyone's finding the same, I think, the horses have took so much more work to get fit. I've never known anything like it. And a lot of horses, even though, and we never let up on them ever, the graft we give them, they were needing runs. So, you know, the way they've come on and improved and they're going well is obviously ideal for Christmas.
Two very different type of horses on the face of it for the King George. Assess both of them.
Well, they share the same sire, which is, Don Marco is a brilliant sire, obviously. Offeroff has never won further than 2.5. He's got to prove he stays. I don't see that an issue at all. And Silvanalco Conti is a horse who I always felt as a thrower stay, and I just wondered 2 years ago when he ran in the Feltham whether he was a little bit outpaced and got a bit tired. Saying that, he's improved enormously since then. Horses like him do win in King George. I think he's a thorough stayer, never been workmanlike or flashy at home. I mean, if you worked, you'd never worked Conti and Offroff together, two different. You'd only worked Offroff with a 2 mile, and you worked Silvanalco Conti with someone like Neptune Clon. That's where they've always been. At the end of the day, they're both really decent horses, and I'm thrilled to have two like that to run in it. In my mind, the start of the season, I thought Dinas was the horse to beat in the bet for Anna King George, and I still probably think that. But Q Card's come into the mix, and he probably benefited from the run at Exeter with sharpening him up. There is talk that he's not as good right-handed. I don't know whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But, you know, they're obviously the two to aim at and to beat. But, I'm really looking forward to it.
And we can hear the thoughts of a jockey, Tom Scudamore, as well. He's riding Dynast in the King George. How does he think his chances are on Dynast?
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
When you're stepping out of novice company and against the big boys for the first time, you know, there's always that question mark against them, whether they've been beating, you know, a moderate bunch in their generation, and you know, each generation is different. And Dinas proved, you know, at the Betfair that he can go and take on the best, compete the best, and hopefully beat them. It was either a case of, you know, Q Card either stayed or he didn't, and they weren't going to ride him any differently to what they had been over 2.5. I suppose I was surprised with the ease of which he kept on responding to Joe. There were moments during the race where I thought I'd get him, and credit to the horse, credit to the jockey, and credit to, you know, to Colin Tizard, that they got him in such fantastic nick on the day, and he kept on finding. It was a tremendous performance. And again, you know, we are all going to have to reverse the form, and you know, hopefully we can. You know, he's won over left-handed, right-handed, on soft ground, faster ground. You know, he's just a very straightforward, and he handles everything we've ever thrown him and asked him to do, and he's done it with aplomb. So, you know, the only fear is whether anything can finish faster. It's been a race where we've had placed success in, without getting our head in fronts. But it's one of the highlights of the whole year. You know, it's one of the jumps classics, and you know, it's the sort of thing you grow up dreaming about. You can get your win on the honours board. Now, hopefully, we're in a position where we can go and do it.
So there you go. Plenty to go out on Thursday. Plenty to go out in the future as well. Plenty of good racing to look forward to. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Darren Owen will be in the studio. They'll also be joined by Paul Jones throughout the afternoon as well. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.